devil town. I didn't know it was a devil town. Oh, oh Lord, it really brings me down about the devil town. All my friends were vampires. I didn't know they were vampires. Turns out I was a vampire myself in the devil town.
It's 1:33 on Sports Radio 1310. You're listening to the Bob and Dan Show. And joining us now on our phone lines, it's a famous musician and all-around awesome person, Daniel Johnston. Hey, Daniel, how's it going?
I love that. That is the best version of any of my songs I've ever heard. I really enjoyed that.
That's Bright Eyes, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay. I have to get that album. Sorry.
Oh. Well, I'm glad you like it, and that's actually something I'm really interested in is just the amount of people that cover your songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes in a year, two or three new albums will come out, and so some of them are pretty good.
How does that affect you? Do you make a lot of money from that?
I wish it, you know, if people cover songs that someone could try to have a hit with it, you know, would be cool. You know, because, you know, you're not really famous till you have a hit. You know, I don't know if my songs, my interpretation would be a hit, but if somebody covered it that was, like, professional sounding, that, like that song even, should be a hit. I think it sounds great. I love the music and everything about it.
Well, when I saw the documentary, I couldn't stop singing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonder. How has your life changed since that documentary?
Oh, man, it's been a lot more better, except for some things that have happened. My mother died, my dog died, and my guitar player died.
Mm. Well,
it's really bad this past year.
That's a stretch.
And we were just getting ready to release a new album, and so it's going to come out around November 5th. And we're very excited about it. And it's the last thing we did. We were together for like 10 years, working on material, playing shows in Texas a lot. And we have the new album coming out, and then we were planning for a box set, and we were working on that. So that's really, you know, we plan to finish it all up, and we should be able to. But it really was tragic, you know.
I'm sorry about that. You know, and I'm sorry to interrupt your smooth interview you got going here, CC, but
yeah.
What's your, let me just ask, what's the website? Can you order the album on your website? And I've heard you have T-shirts with your art on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My brother runs a website. It's Hi, How Are You website, I guess, right? And he sells T-shirts and all the albums. But the new album will probably be released by the end of the month.
Okay. HiHowAreYou.com, I suppose? Let me
look
that up.
That's right.
It kind of tickles me because your brother said you weren't ever going to make any money off this art and stuff. And here you are making...
How about that? I remember that.
He's the one that's making the money now, huh?
He's impressed. We're rich. And we go on tour, me and my brother. And instead of getting a whole bunch of money, right, I get all the comic books I want. That's a lot of fun. When they say they want to go, I go, great, let's get some comic books, you know, because I collect comic books like crazy. So it's a pretty good deal.
Nice. And you toured in Seattle and Vancouver area recently, right? How was that?
Well, it was Portland. We just got back. And with so many places we go, you know, it seemed like once a month we might go sometimes for longer, but we tour a lot just for fun. And the audiences are getting bigger, so it's getting to be a lot better than ever.
Boy, tell me about your cassette tape collection. Do you, because in the movie, The Devil and Daniel Johnston,
Right.
They would have clips of the time you went to New York City to become famous.
Right.
Clips of times you were running into trouble. Were you always rolling tape or what?
Yeah, that's the funny thing about it. I do have a lot of that on tape.
Like you just carry a tape recorder around with you?
Yeah, you know, making up songs in New York, and I didn't want to go home at all. So I stayed in a homeless shelter place, and then I got a gig at CBGB's playing in between songs with one band, and that track ended up on 1990. So I'm glad I didn't leave the town because that was one of my favorite tracks too.
Okay, so you carry a tape recorder around because you might come up with inspiration for music.
Of course. Yeah, I need to get a new one. I haven't had one for a long time. I want to get a real tiny one that I can just put in my pocket. You know.
Yeah, we need to get digital. You need to get into the digital world, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Micro cassette.
They make them small now. My brother is real cool, and next time I go shopping, I'm going to be looking for some of those cool tape recorders.
Okay, and what inspires you when you do feel... A song. How do you?
Well,
what's the process?
The thing about it is, my memory is getting worse and worse. I'll get an idea for a song, and I'll go looking for some paper and a pen. And by the time I have it, then I've completely forgotten my idea. So I need to get one of those tape recorders so I can tape it right away. You know, is the solution, because my memory is so bad. It's terrible. Like, we'll go someplace to do some recording or something, and I'll go in the backyard on a smoke break, you know, and I'll say something like, boy, it really is great to be back in Austin, Texas, you know, and we're somewhere like Los Angeles or something. Yeah, so I'm spacing out, but I hope it gets better. I need vitamins or something. I don't know. Better food maybe would be it.
For sure. Now you were saying about how things are going pretty good right now, and I'm glad to hear that. I just wonder how often you think about how things might have been different if your major label experience had gone differently. Whenever you release the one album on a major label, Fun, and then didn't interact with. I just wonder how much you think about that period of your life.
Well, that was really something great because. I was really down and out, and I didn't know what to do. You know, I was depressed and everything, and still wishing to be famous with no way that I could, you know. And then I got a new manager, and right away I was on Atlantic, so I was impressed with that. And Paul Leary of the Butthole Surfers produced it, so that was a lot of fun.
All right, this is Daniel Johnston. He is... legendary artist, recording artist as well, featured in the documentary The Devil and Daniel Johnston. And we want to send you to their website, hihowareyou.com. It's awesome. You get a nice little flavor there. You also can see upcoming shows, where you're traveling to and whatnot. Since you mentioned that the Butthole Surfers producer, you've worked with him, what's your relationship with Gibby Haynes? He's a friend of ours.
He's great. It sure is great. And I tell you, when they came to town, when I lived in Austin, they moved to town in like 1986, you know. The whole town was crazy about them, you know. And I always went and saw the shows and went backstage and said hello and everything. And we even recorded one time. And then a few years back, we were invited to do some shows even here in Texas with them, Danny and the Nightmares. And the Butthole Surfers, which was really cool. And so we're good friends with them, that's for sure.
The legend would have it that some of your problems came to head when you did acid at one of their shows.
Yeah, well, stories, you know. I did acid with my girlfriend, and when I was living in Austin, you know, mm-hmm. And the first night, everything was hilarious. We went to a movie, and I was just laughing and having a good time, you know. So we took more the next night. We took some more and more, and it was the night of a Butthole Surfer concert, right? And so we go to the show, and it's getting to be kind of scary for some reason. I always knew they were a little bit scary, you know, but they start yelling, Satan, 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 right? And I, like, went out of my mind, and I looked out on the crowd, and they were all wearing leather, you know, heavy metal shirts and everything, and I just, I got to get out of here. So that's what really happened to me one time. It was really scary.
Yeah, that would have been weird without acid. Acid doesn't help.
It would have been worse without, good drugs. And I always thought that for a long while that, you know, got to have some marijuana all the time, you know. And but I've decided that good food, a good meal, is a lot better than any kind of drugs. Because when you're buying drugs, you don't know who it came from, where it came from, or anything like that. You know, but if you're feeling depressed, I just, you know, have like a ice cream or popsicles or a pizza or something. Cheers me up a lot more than the drugs did.
I'm with you, man.
but the so you can deny the legend that Gibby gave you the acid that pushed you over the edge. That's
for sure. Okay. Yeah. But I mean that night. I mean, after it was all over, and there's all kinds of trouble, they came to my apartment, knock on the door, and Gibby and Paul were standing there. I couldn't believe it, you know? And we ran around town and went to Jack in the Box, and we ended up at their house and did that recording I was saying. And so that was a lot of fun.
Have you watched the documentary?
I sure have, yeah.
Okay.
It's fun to put on every now and then, and you know, it seems if there's a lot of things going on, it takes a while to catch on what's going on and stuff, and there was films of me at the Butthole Surfer's house and stuff like that, so that, you know, it was pretty cool.
Do you find the documentary The Devil and Daniel Johnson, is that fair? Is it accurate?
What was that again?
The movie, The Devil and Daniel Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's completely fair and accurate?
Well, it was a lot of stories and things like that. And but to tell the truth, there I had some real trouble about some real people that claimed to be Satan devil worshipers. You know, and I was in danger real bad, and it was going crazy and. So my dad came down from West Virginia and brought me back home, you know, because I told him I was having so much trouble. I was going nuts. It was scary.
But you're past that now, right?
Yeah, everything's cool these days. That's for sure.
Hey, what was it like when you saw Kurt Cobain? When you saw Kurt Cobain? I'm sorry.
And I'm doing pretty good.
You saw. How'd you find out when Kurt Cobain was wearing your T-shirt that time?
Well, when I moved back to Austin over the years, somebody brought over his Z-Rox, and I didn't really know who he was, but we started hearing his music all the time on the radio. So I put the picture up on the wall and everything, and it meant a lot to us.
Did you ever meet him?
No. Well, I don't know if I did, because one time there was this guy, I thought it might be him, right? But he didn't really say. He gave me a tape. And I've been meaning to look for that tape because we get a lot of tapes and we just kind of put them on the shelf, you know. And if he really did give me a tape, then I'll know that he did give it to me because he was great. He sure was. It was a long time ago, so it's kind of scary, you know.
Yeah. How much do you get to meet the artists who cover your songs? How typical is that?
In the old days, one thing cool about living in Austin is there was a million bands. And I'd say at least half of them were people that I thought were pretty cool. And I was always going, and like, I could make like $1 a show once I made $5 a show. You know, it was discount rock and roll, you know.
Yeah.
But everybody got on, when MPV came to town, they were all my friends that I knew pretty well for the Cutting Edge show, if you've ever heard of that. So those were the good old days. And, you know, I always dreamed of that kind of thing, like all my friends were artists and I was an artist too, and we were living somehow in a town, and you know, it's really strange that I used to think about it that way.
Were you ever suicidal? Did you ever have those kind of thoughts?
Yes, I've had some, you know, but the times I was suicidal, it was just like, it wasn't so much that I just didn't care. I just like thought, suicide, okay, you know, but I've never really gone far enough to. Well, it's too close. I'm glad I'm alive anyway. You know.
What's the last song you wrote?
Well, I have this new song called "The Last Song," and several others that I've been working on.
Could you maybe sing a little bit of it?
Okay, let me think. Hi, how are you these days? That's about the first one.
All right, cool.
Well,
waiting.
You know, I'd like to thank you for calling today, and if you, you know what, so.
Well, we're
right,
very.
Take
we're,
care, okay?
We're very, very big fans of yours.
Well, I sure appreciate it.
We really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule.
Okay.
We want to tell everybody to go to hihowareyou.com.
That's right. They can order just about anything is there.
And, yeah, get a T-shirt.
We're going to buy a T-shirt.
You sell art online as well?
Yes.
Some of your art?
Yes.
Your music, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
And if there's one last thing that we could ask of you, we always try to get like a wacky radio liner from guests we have on the show just to to show people that we had Daniel Johnston on our show. So we wondering if you could just say, "Hi, this is Daniel Johnston, and I never listen to bad radio on Sports Radio 1310
The Ticket." Okay.
Go ahead.
Is it ready for me?
Yeah.
Hello, this is Daniel Johnston, and I'm never listening to bad radio.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right, well, hey, best of luck. If you ever come through Dallas, we'd love to meet you. I see Houston is on your list.
Yeah.
Have you been to Dallas to perform?
Oh, yeah. We've been around, yeah.
Okay, I don't know if that's on your list. It appears.
Yeah, I can't. We played. I think we've done a show there one time. Seems like it.
Okay. You got any coming up?
Oh, not. Any, I don't have any shows. You know, because my band's out of order right now. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah.
All right. Well,
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate your interest. And take care.
Best of luck.
Thank you. You too.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. There's.
All right, man. Bye. Take it easy.
The post interview. Daniel kind of wrapped it up.
Yeah, he did.
He was done.
He was
I feel
sick
like
of
you
us.
You kind
of
ruined the momentum we had.
Yeah,
I
asked him to sing
really
the song.
Go TC.
Like, it's unbelievable that we had so much momentum going.
I heard he likes that sort of. Like, my intel said that he would really enjoy that question.
Intel.
So your excuse
intel.
Is that you that it worked. So yeah. It actually was good.
I thought he just knew the clock. And said, "Hey, it's gotta get out."
I need a ticker from Seabass. So, could you guys wrap this up so I can see if Chris Johnson signed his contract or not?
Well, what a pleasant guy!
Yeah.
That was great. It was because
surprisingly good.
I watched the documentary last night and had very big concerns. Very big concerns about having him on because they didn't really interview him on the documentary too much because. I just didn't think he could handle the interview format.
No, yeah.
Which he did fine until TC started in.
Yeah.
With his... Just threw it all off. Well, good job. Tom gets points on the GBL.
Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Out of the green man soup right now.
We have met Daniel Johnston. And I
believe... World's a better place.
I believe we're all good, right?
Yeah.
All right. Up next, we follow that up. With sports.